Father, we do praise you. We do adore you. We do love you, Lord. You are so good to us. And Lord, you're worthy of all praise. Lord, we're here this morning, Lord, to meet with you, to be in your presence. Lord, to hear from you, to be encouraged, to be renewed, to be refreshed. And Lord, you're so good, you always meet us where we're at. So I pray that you would meet us this morning in such a powerful way, Lord. Lord, speak to us. Lord, you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we get to serve you, Lord, in the days that we live in. And it is in your name, my Jesus, that I pray. Amen. Good morning, church. There's a couple of things in my mind before we get into our Bible study. One is, be praying for Israel. I'm sure you guys are aware what's going on. There's war there and so forth, you know, and it's sad, the death and all the things that are going on. At the same time, it's a little bit exciting in the sense that it feels like the Bible is just unfolding before our eyes, all these things going on around the world. But please pray for Israel. We know that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Amen. Another thing is we support three different ministries here. And, you know, it's one of the things that the Lord just laid on my heart. That's just the way I grew up in the church, in the sense of when I came to know the Lord and everything, was that when we started, it was in our hearts to always have missions as part of the church. So from the very beginning, it was just like, that's what the Lord will have us do as a church. So we support a couple different ministries, 10th Hour. We support also Olalo of Hope. We support Teen Challenge, three different ministries. And it really is just like the Bible says, you know, Jerusalem, Samaria, you know, and into the ends of the earth, right? It just, we have local, we have New Mexico, and we have Africa. But I wanted just to read this card to you that was sent to me. And it says, in the front, it says, Cyprosa is dancing and praising God for provisions of food. And this is her right here. This is Olalo of Hope. And this is what it says. Dear Carlos and Calvary Chapel Estacado, all of us here at Olalo of Hope cannot express enough our joy and appreciation for your support to the people of Kenya. Each month, food is delivered to the hungry, medical care to the sick, and spiritual guidance to the community. Your generosity allows all this to happen. We are all very grateful. Thank you, and God bless Mary. It's amazing. You know, it's like a little church in Estacada that they're like, Esta what? When I say it, you know, I share with people, Estacada. Can have an impact around the world. We can. We can have it an impact in prayer and in many different ways and supporting people that are sharing the gospel, that are loving people, not only with word, but also with deed. Amen? Okay, one more thing before we get started. I just want to read the Psalms to you. It's just so good, just a portion of it. It's Psalms 140, 149. It says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Isn't that what we do? Let Israel rejoice in her maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the harp. And listen, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Do you know that the Lord takes pleasure in you? He loves you. He cares. Every aspect of your life he cares for. There's nothing small, there's nothing big, you know, whether it is a parking space that we're going to the store, he cares about that. And it's amazing, it's like right there. Anyway, just a reminder. Well, if you're here for the first time, we're making our way through the gospel according to Luke. We're in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, open up there with me. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and someone will get one to you. Of course, now we have like 10,000 apps, so. Luke In our previous study, we saw the number 12 come up. We saw that a woman had an illness, a flow of blood for 12 years, and then we saw also that Jairus' daughter, she was 12 years old, and she was dying. And what we saw there is the power of God to heal and the power of God also to bring people back from the dead, the power of life and death. And, you know, it was interesting as we read, as we go through it, when Jesus comes to the home of Jairus, he tells everybody to get on out, except for Peter, James, and John, and the parents. And it's like he took out unbelief because they were making fun of him. It says that they mocked him for it. She says, she's asleep. And he says, no, she lives. And she spoke to her as she's alive because that was just a body, just a tent. We are made for eternity. Our souls live on. And Jesus comes in and he kicks people out. And then he speaks to her and he says, little girl, arise. And she does. She sits up. And her parents were astonished. Can you imagine having your little girl back? How beautiful is that? An amazing scene, right? So as we enter here, our text this morning, we're going to see that the disciples get to apply what they've learned. So if you would, stand with me. We're going to read the first 6 verses, and then we're going to do just a quick little background on it again, just to get us to where we're at. Verse 1, chapter 9 says, then he called his 12 disciples together. He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staff, so no accountant, no secretary. No, I'm just kidding, guys. Neither staff nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have 2 tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. You may be seated. In our study, we have seen Jesus call out, he called out 12 men. There was many people that followed him. There were some that were disciples. We have learned that, and we're going to see that throughout the scriptures and so forth. But there was 12 men that he called them out for a particular ministry. He called them to leave their secular jobs and to come follow him. And they did. They obeyed. And we read over and over that these men were called disciples, which means learners or pupils. They were to learn from Jesus, and they were learning from Jesus. They had been walking with Jesus, observing Jesus, and just partaking of everything that they saw. And in the last few chapters, Jesus emphasized to his disciples the importance of hearing his word, receiving his word, applying his word, and also sharing his word. Remember? You remember when he gave the parable of the light, he says, listen, you don't grab a light and cover it. You need to go out there and let your light so shine. He says, be careful how you hear, what you do with that. So he called them to share the word of God. And with every lesson, there was an opportunity for them to apply these things. In the lesson with the centurions, they learned what great faith looks like. And he was not a Jew. He was not a man that had the oracles of God. He was a Gentile. And he was a man of faith. He knew what authority was. He understood authority. And he knew that Jesus had all authority, all authority. He said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. So he exclaimed, you don't need to come, Jesus. I know who you are. I believe in you. All you got to do is just say those words and my servant will be healed. And so it was. In chapter 8, when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, everything that they learned was tested with one event. As they were crossing Jesus, remember, he said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say we're going partial, halfway. We're going to go for a swim. He didn't say that. He said, we're going to the other side. And yet a big storm arised. It was a real storm. These were fishermen. These were seasoned men. And they were afraid. Listen, all they learned went out the window. Why? Because it affected them personally. They had seen the power of God in others' lives, and they called and they walked with them, and they were witnesses of these things, but now it affected them. It was their life that was at stake. It was personal, and God met them in a personal way as he does us. When their life was threatened, when there's a real illness, when there's a real threat, God meets us right there. And that is where we grow in our faith, because like, God, you are real. I know you're real, but now you're real in my life and I see how you work. So this big storm tested them though. And they temporarily forgot all they had learned. You remember how they responded? They said, Lord, we're perishing. And then we went to Mark and it says, don't you care that we're dying? He says, as if Jesus didn't know what was going on. He was asleep. He wasn't worried. He wasn't pacing back and forth. He knew. And the Lord rebuked the storm, and then he gave a gentle rebuke to his disciples. Remember what he said? He says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Guys, I have seen you. I've trained you up. I walk with you. You have witnessed all these things. And he simply said, where's your faith? With John the Baptist, they learned that even a godly man, the greatest of all prophets, can have a lapse in faith. It's amazing. All these lessons they were learning, they were personal now. They've entered from seeing to experiencing it. After the storm, who did they encounter? Who was waiting for them? You guys remember? Demoniac, right? And this wasn't, not that just one demon is not bad, right? It's bad. This guy had a legion of demons in him. And there they witnessed his power and authority over the spiritual realm. They had seen Jesus' power and his authority over disease, over life and death, over all things. And over the unseen world. They were learning. They had seen. But now the time had come to put things into practice, the things that they learn. But before he sends them out in a powerful short-term mission trip, he equips them. Do you know that God will not just send you out? Here you go. Good luck. Have fun. He doesn't do that. And God sends us. He prepares us. He prepares the way. He goes with us. He equips us. And that's where we enter our text this morning. Take a look at the first couple of verses with me. It says, then he called his 12 disciples. Take note of that word disciples, because it's going to change. It's going to say apostle. We're not going to get to it this Sunday, but we will next Sunday. It says, his 12 disciples together and gave them, what did he give them? Power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Matthew tells us that he commanded them to go, not to the Gentile cities, but to the lost sheep of Israel. And he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. He gave them authority and he gave them power. The very thing that Jesus had demonstrated for them, he was giving them. Power and authority over spiritual realm and over the physical world. He was equipping them. Now, power is the ability to accomplish something. And authority is the right to do it. Let me give you an example. I may have the power to build a wall that is much needed, but I may not have the authority to do it. I need the authority and I need the power to do these things. Power and authority. So Jesus says, remember how I casted out the demons? I am giving you that authority. Remember how I healed the woman? I'm giving you that power. Remember how I raised the dead? I'm giving you that power and that authority for you to go out and do these things. But there was a purpose for it. The purpose was that the gospel would get out into the world, that they would know that the Messiah was at hand and that God would be glorified and the people would be saved. There was a reason for it. Please notice that they didn't work up power and authority. We're going to go and work these things up. Jesus gave it to them. And the Bible said that without me, you can do Nothing. What can I do without Jesus? Spiritually, eternally, nothing. We can have effect on certain things and so forth, but it's the work of the flesh, it's not the work of the Spirit. I cannot do anything of eternal value without my Lord. But take a look at verse 2 with me. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. They didn't go on their own. It wasn't a went, it was a sent. Jesus sent them. In order to do the work of God, they needed to be sent. When we move out to serve the Lord, whatever that may look like, there's so many different ministries, and it's a blessing when we speak to one another and we hear what the Lord is doing in our lives, and we see the power of God in the life of His people. Whether they're being a witness, whether they're sporting this, they're doing that, and so forth, we see that. It's all by the Spirit of God. It's all by the power of God. He sent them. And so He sends them with a purpose to preach the kingdom of God. Notice that. Not the kingdom of man, but the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And listen, right now we live in the kingdom of man, but one day our Father, our Jesus, our Lord, He's going to do away with all these kingdoms. And as we look at the news, we see all these things developing. It's not long, guys. It'll be the kingdom of heaven. He would establish His kingdom. And we get to be part of that. And I find it amazing. Just yesterday, listening to the things that are going on, and I was like, wow, so many things. But God, one day, will establish His kingdom. And I, for one, can't wait until that day comes. Amen? And they were also sent to heal the sick. Twofold ministry, right? In Mark 16, it's what is known as the Great Commission. And right before Jesus ascends into heaven, He sends out the 11 this time because there was one missing, remember? He sends out the 11 for the final time, and He says to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And notice verse 17 says, "And these signs will follow." Does it say these signs will go ahead? "These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will drink anything deadly. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Notice that the mission is to preach the gospel. Signs will follow the believers, not the believers, the signs. Because people get all driven by their emotions. And this is going on here, and let me go see what's going on over there. Let me see. That's not the way it works. God said, you preach the word of God. The believers, they're the ones. And these signs, these miracles, they follow the believer. The miracles were to authenticate their preaching. In other words, the power authenticated their authority, authority given to them by Jesus. They were to let their light so shine before men that they may see their good works and glorify who? Themselves? No. Glorify God, right? Let me give you an example of this. In Acts 3:12, in Acts 3, you guys remember Acts 3, right? Peter and John went up to the temple and pray, and they met a lame man on the way. You remember the nursery rhyme? "Silver and gold I have not, but what I do have I give unto thee," he says, right? And what happened? Here's this man that was lame from his mother's womb. And Peter looks at him and he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Well, when the people saw that, they said, "Wow, this is incredible." They looked at them and they tried to glorify man. But Peter's response was, in verse 12, it says, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Peter said, it's not us. We are just simply a tool of God. God is doing the work, and he is to be glorified. We didn't do this. God did. We're just his servants. So Jesus gave him power and authority so that they would bless the people with the word of God and the power of God and bring glory to God. They were sent out in his name. And since they were under Jesus' authority, they were also under his care. Take a look at verse 3. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Jesus not only provided them with power and authority, but also for their physical needs. He covers every aspect of the servant of his servants. He doesn't miss one thing. And last Sunday, I had the privilege to go back to Calvary Chapel Southeast and teach and share what the Lord is doing here. We were sent out from that church about, 4 years ago. It was during COVID. They said, COVID's going on, churches are closing, go. What an amazing thing God does. When churches were closing, God said, go plant a church. Listen, we can listen to men or we can listen to God. God moves. There's people he wanted to reach, lives he wanted to change, transform the lives of individual, and uses people. So I had the opportunity to share with our sending church what God has done and what he's doing here in Estacada. And I said, we have about 1,000 people in our congregation. I said, David numbered the people. It didn't go too well for him. So I'm just not going to say anything. I shared with them what the Lord has been doing. You know, it's such a blessing because to see people and try to encourage them because it's a pretty good-sized church, you know, and they have 3 services. It's a good-sized church. And in that church, there's people that God is speaking to them directly that it's time for them to go. People that he's calling out to step out in faith and say, hey, I want you to go. Others to start a ministry. And I know this personally. That's what God does. That's what God is doing here. That's what he's done. Every ministry here is a new ministry. There was nothing established. God moved in the hearts of his people. And they started in the power of the Spirit. And it was such a blessing to share with them the work of God. And truly, where God guides, he provides. That is the philosophy of Calvary Chapel. And I say this, in Calvary Chapel, the philosophy in general, I do say in general, is that when somebody, God moves in the hearts of individuals to go and plant a church, customarily, there's no financial support given. There is no, let me go give you a building, let me give you a stipend, there's none of that. And the philosophy is that if it's God's work, God will bless it and provide for it, and those sent will be able to see God's work in the ministry, in their lives. And you see that over and over and over. Listen, when man does it, all of a sudden we lose sight of whose work it is and that we were sent. But when God does it, man, we get to rejoice with them. When he asks us to move in faith, things that we don't understand our minds, logically we say, this doesn't make sense, Lord. But it doesn't need to make sense. I'm just going to obey. Your faith grows and you see him move in it all. And it's amazing. You know, God's still moving today, powerfully. He wants to move in each and every one of your lives, and he is moving in your lives. But I truly sense that this church right now, and I've said it before, it's foundational right now. Foundational. I see the people that are here. How the other day, a wonderful brother shared something with me, and I was so blessed. I walked into the men's ministry. I was shocked. I went there intentionally late, because I just didn't want to disrupt anything, but they hadn't started, so I was like, whoa. But But then I was like, whoa, it was full, like full. And I was like, wow. And I was thinking, I was trying to process that, you know. And as I sat down and I just like sort of processing things and listening, you know, to the teaching, it was such a good teaching. It really blessed me just to sit and receive. And at the end, the brother said, you know, I hadn't been to a church where there's such a variety of ages and so many people are so knowledgeable in the word in this group, in this small congregation. You know, and to me that was such a blessing because it's a simplicity of going through God's word verse by verse, right? Chapter by chapter. It's God's word. It is totally Him, is the Spirit of God. Anyway, I could go on in regards to that, and it's such a blessing to see God move. All that to say that God is moving in the life of individuals. He's brought some with the gift of teaching, other evangelism, other this, others that, helps, children's ministry, everything, all these different things. And it is God who does that. Where God guides, He provides. It's all been a work of God, a work of His Spirit, and it continues. And this is just the beginning, guys. I truly believe that unless the Lord comes at any, He could come at any point, which would be even better, you know. But I believe that, man, many people will come to know the Lord using this body here, using you guys. Well, verse 4. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. In other words, hey, listen, when you go out, you're going on the mission trip, don't go to a particular house. Hey, they got some beans and rice. Yeah, they got some meat over there, some filet mignon. I'm going to go over there. He says, no, whatever house you go to, he says, you enter, stay there, and from there depart. Just stay there. Fulfill your ministry there. Minister to those people that God has sent you to. And you know, I think it's so important that when we go, we adhere to God's commandments. And Lord willing, this coming year we'll have a mission trip. And that has always been in my heart, you know, and it's just been waiting for the church, waiting for the right timing and so forth, because it's not our timing, it's God's timing. And those opportunities have come up and will come up and will continue to come up. And you know, it's amazing. It's so important that when we go, that we understand that it's God's work, it's not my work, that I'm to obey, that I'm to do these things, because this is still applicable for today. And then he says, and whoever will not receive you, then you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Now, there's a few things I want to just expound on here. But the first thing that I want to point out, that there's going to be some people that don't receive them. There's going to be people that don't receive us, that don't receive us now. That we give the word of God, we come and share the gospel, and it says, no, thank you. Get away with that Jesus stuff. Get away with that God stuff. I don't want it. And listen, I know our hearts. I know our desires. Like, Lord, would you just save them? Touch them. And that is our hearts. That should be our heart. That people would be saved, touched, transformed, come into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they repent of their sins. But we can't do that. It's not up to us. It is the work of the Spirit of God. He does it. The individual has free will to respond to God's calling. We are to be obedient to share the message, the gospel message, with a loving heart, with grace, and with truth. But there'll be some that will not receive it. So he says, in regards to that, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Remember, he sent them to the towns in the city of Israel, the Jewish nation there. And when Jews return home from a Gentile region, they would shake off the dust off their feet to signify that they wanted nothing to do with Gentiles. They had no part with them. And in essence, they would be saying, since you don't want nothing to do with God, then God will have nothing to do with you. He will respect your decision. In Matthew's account, Jesus adds this to this portion of Scripture. He says, "As surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Why is that? Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the knowledge of God. They didn't have the oracles of God. They didn't have the Messiah walking in their midst. They didn't have signs and wonders. They didn't have messengers at that time going and preaching the Word of God and also performing these miracles as He sends them. When they rejected the disciples sent out in His name, they were rejecting Jesus. And when they're rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting the Father who sent Him. They should have known better. They had Jesus in their midst. They had God in their midst. The Word of God, mighty miracles. They had no excuses. Listen, today is the same thing. There are people that have the witness, the testimony of brothers and sisters, powerful testimony, delivered from incredible things. Demonic oppressions. It's a real thing. From drugs, from alcohol, from just a life of sin. Delivered from a particular life, changed completely, radically changed, a new individual that He uses in a mighty way. And then there's times that there's prayers lifted up on their behalf and God answers prayers. And they have the testimony and they still say, "No, no, we don't want it. Too much is given, much is required." Listen, the knowledge, they knew. And he says about these towns in Israel, and it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's saying a lot. That is saying a lot. In fact, in the next chapter, we'll see that Jesus pronounces woes in the cities that rejected Him. In fact, if you want to just look over to the next chapter, chapter 10, verse 13, Jesus is pronouncing woes. And He says, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethesda. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago." Remember, He sent out these missionaries. Jesus was there Himself. And He says, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. "But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, the judgment, than for you. And you, Capernaum." Remember, Jesus abided there. He resided there. "Who are exalted to heaven will be brought down to Hades. He who hears," notice, listen, "He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me." Don't take people's rejections personal. They're rejecting Jesus in you, the Spirit of God in you. "And he who rejects me rejects Him who sent me." They rejected God. And therefore, He says, "Okay, that is what you want. I will give you what you want." Verse 6, "So they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Notice that they preached everywhere. The gospel message was being heard far and wide, so much so that it got the attention of Herod, who was in charge in that region. Herod was a wonderful man. Not, right? Wicked family. Terrible family. And we're going to see that Herod was so afraid, perplexed, confused of what's going on. He thought, could this be John the Baptist, whom I beheaded? Herod's sin, the first thing that comes to mind is, my sin has come back to haunt me. And isn't that what sin does? Listen, sin takes you captive. And it holds you captive for as long as it can. The first thing he thought of, was it John the Baptist, the man I beheaded? Is that who it is? Sometimes we think that, okay, it was a day and we have thinking about what happened. It was a week, it was months. But sometimes it takes years before sin rears up its ugly head and says, it's time to pay now. You never repented of it. You never dealt with it. You never took it to the Lord. And years later, it comes back and it has to be dealt with. And that's where we're leaving it today, because we're going to have communion. Listen, maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. We have such an awesome God, a good God. But he's also a gentleman. He will not impose his will upon you. He calls to you. And he uses people. Sometimes it's amazing. I have a brother that I prayed for years and years and years. And I said, Lord, would you bring people to him to share the gospel with him? Just please bring somebody. Please touch him. And when he came, he moved to Texas where I was living. He shared with me. Now, I hadn't told him this. He shared with me. He said, I was at the hospital, and some guy came, and he was yelling at me, and he says, repent or you're going to hell. God says you need to repent. And he goes, I don't like the way that guy talked to me. He says, you know, that's fine and all that religious stuff. And then he says, then I was doing community service somewhere, and there was this guy that out of all the people that were there, he came to me and he says, you know, God loves you. He desires to have a relationship with you. He desires to forgive your sins. You need to turn to the Lord. Kind and gentle, grace and truth. And he gave me another scenario, and I said, brother, I said, God yelled at you, whispered to you, comfort you. He's reaching you in all kinds of different fashions. Will you respond to him? And maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know the Lord. And today's a day that you need to respond to the Lord, to have this relationship with him. Forgive your sins, give you life. Make you a new creation. Change you forever from the inside out. An amazing relationship. We give him our junk and he gives us forgiveness, eternal life, a family in God, an eternal family, royalty. Amazing. So as Dawn and the rest of the men come up and have communion, I'm going to pray. And listen, as we have communion today, It's important that if a person, and this is between you and the Lord, if a person is not right with the Lord, if they are involved in habitual sin that they don't want to repent of, that is it, that they are involved in something that they're unrepented of, they want to continue in it, I would say to you, just let it pass by. Let it pass by. Or if you don't know the Lord, let it pass by if you don't want to do that. However, if you want to give your life to the Lord, you can do it right now. If you want to repent of that sin, you can do it right now. We can all have communion together as a family of God. And I say this not because I want to be mean or I want to be, you know, call you out. I don't say that. I say this because the Bible says it. Paul says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then he goes on and says, that's why some of you are sick. And he goes, and some of you have fallen asleep, speaking of death. So let's pray, have an opportunity to both receive the Lord and repent of our sins. Amen. Father, we just thank you. We are so grateful to you. We love you. We pray. Thank you, Lord, that you're so gracious. You are right there waiting for us, Lord, just to repent and to come to you. You invite us, Lord, and we're so grateful for that. Lord, just pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, that they would not leave that way. That, Lord, that they would repent of their sins, receive you into their lives, Lord. Lord, they would come into the family of God. And Lord, if there's some here that have been struggling, I pray that you would wash them with your word. Lord, and we're reminded that Lord, our sins are forgiven. When we repent, Lord, we just give them to you. Is that continuous washing of the word? When we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, your word says. We thank you for that. Lord, we praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.